As I watched, my eyes filled with tears. On Twitter, I watched protests by young people at universities in America. As I watched, my eyes filled with tears. Some are atheists, some Jewish, some Christian, some Muslim. Young people standing firm joined the protests, despite being told, "Give us the names of these young people. When they graduate, we will not offer them job opportunities in our companies." Even though professors at universities knew they would lose their jobs and they would be fired, they still showed up in these protests, continuing this support for Gaza. If you remember, at Harvard University after October 7th, the dean was fired. Yale University, again a very prestigious university, they also fired the dean and interrogated her. Knowing all of these, those young people still stand tall and continue to support Gaza and fight against Zionist Israel. I was very touched by this. Those united voices, those voices that have come together and united, echo in the university courtyards. And now, many universities in America are in turmoil, with protests escalating. They are bringing police into Columbia University, where normally, by their policy, police do not enter universities. This time, the next day, 5 to 10 times more young people participated. It's like they're saying, "We don't care about whether or not we get jobs when we graduate. There is oppression, and we will not allow it to be funded with our taxes," they shout. So the main question is, why are there more protests in America? Because we know that America is Israel's biggest supporter. Actually, I looked at the numbers, and I saw a shocking figure. I looked into how much support America has provided to Israel in its history, researched it, and looked at the data. Up to the year 2023, America's support for Israel has reached $300 billion. So there is such a power behind it, and people are disturbed by this. "Through my taxes, you are killing Palestinians' innocents." Friends, over 30,000 people have died, and 70% of them are women and children. So people say, "A child died? Why? I don't want my taxes to be used for this." And America has major problems. Homelessness, people are sleeping on the streets. Healthcare is very expensive, so is renting issues. Education is already paid, not free. People can't get proper education. "Well, we have so many problems. What are you doing with our taxes?" "We are killing innocent children in Palestine." Let's think. I went and bought a coffee. So what happened with the tax from this? Where did the tax go indirectly? There is support for Israel, so it went to support Israel. And from there, a bullet was fired and struck a Palestinian child in the heart. 30,000... No, wait a minute. It makes us feel guilty. By these thoughts, students are now shouting, and whenever they encounter an obstacle, the crowd grows larger. Watching those videos deeply moved me, my eyes filled with tears. I thought and said, "That's humanity, that's the conscience, people of conscience who are shouting in the streets." It's not easy, friends. There are 78,000 injured people who have lost arms, legs, and eyes. 2.5 million people have been displaced from their homes. 220,000 homes have been destroyed, and hunger, famine, all kinds of troubles. I mean, forget about electricity, water, all that. People are living on the brink of hunger and famine, and there is a devil behind these in the world. But on the other hand, seeing these justice-seeking people, one can't help but think, could it be possible that the sun might rise from the west? The things we've been told about the sun rising from the west, can they have such a meaning? Is it a metaphor? Bediüzzaman Said Nursi once mentioned in one of his works, "The Ottoman Empire is pregnant with a European state. One day it will give birth." I think when he mentioned Europe, he meant Europe and America. Europe too is pregnant with an Ottoman state, and one day it will give birth. Maybe these are the signs of the beginning of something, and I have seen more convert videos now on Instagram, YouTube, everywhere than I have ever seen before. It's almost unbelievable how much after the events in Gaza, people have started showing interest in Islam. The determination of the people of Gaza has inspired so many people. So these could be signs that it's time for some big changes. There is a woman named Medea Benjamin. She's an activist. Perhaps you remember, she had an action called Bloody Hands. While the U.S. Minister of Foreign Affairs was making a statement, they stood up with their hands painted red and made a Bloody Hands protest right there, like, "You're supporting this with my taxes, I don't want it." I watched an interview of this woman, and it really moved me. Every day, this woman and her supporters are doing this. You know the Blinken, the Minister of Foreign Affairs? Every morning when he leaves his home and every evening when he returns, protesters are there. red paint the color of blood. They constantly pour it in front of his eyes. What they're trying to say is, this blood, the blood of 30,000 people, of babies, of children, it's on your hands, they remind him. When I first saw that protest, I said, how meaningful. You're splashing blood on their streets, constantly painting them red. The woman is fighting and says in her interview, what I see every day is ruining me. I can't sleep at night thinking about the children, the mothers, world leaders talk to each other as if nothing has happened. Every time I drink clean water, when I go to bed at night, I think of the people in Gaza who are deprived of this. As a global community, we are cruel, we have failed, we have lost our humanity, we have lost the ability to be human. My taxes are used for this, and this makes me feel guilty. This is what millions of Americans are feeling right now. Guilty. Harvard University, Brown University, University of Michigan, University of Texas. Look at this. People of every color, every religion, every person with a conscience is supporting. Sure, a Christian without a conscience might not support. A Muslim without a conscience might say, I don't care. But is this what Islam is about? If our Prophet, peace be upon him, were alive today, would he remain silent about all that is happening? Or would he remain silent towards those who are silent? At Yale University, which is one of the most prestigious universities, so its graduates will be very well positioned, but they don't care. They really don't. Look, they say it frankly. You know, the Zionist lobby is so powerful, they can do something to you, so if they want, they can get you fired. For example, they fired the dean of Harvard University and the dean of Yale University, but the students don't care because they have a conscience. You see, a conscience is such a thing that it bothers you. When you see something wrong, it doesn't let you sleep, it keeps you awake, so you take action. And there's this other side of things. It's like the issue of Gaza is seen as a Muslim issue, especially among some secular people, but not all. Some people say Gaza is a Muslim issue, not relevant to us, so they are religious and conservative people. No, that's not the case. Those participating in these protests are atheists, Christians, Jews, and humans. Do you see what I mean? There's this discomfort. Look, at Yale University, they're being arrested and walking out smiling. I was so moved by this video. They were handcuffed behind their backs. They're smiling. People are clapping. Look at that courage, brother. Korea's the world. We don't care. We are people of conscience. For example, here is someone handcuffed, a Muslim, and it's time for prayer. He is handcuffed, brother, but still praying. And they've entered the Senate cafeteria. You know there's a famine issue now, right? But still, people in the Senate eat good food. They say, until Gaza can eat, we will not look away. Palestine will be free. And together, they surround the cafeteria. Palestine will be free. We will not look away. Palestine will be free. There's the oranges, fruits, foods. Because of your actions, people are living on the starvation line. We are here, they say. We pray for Gaza. We pray for Gaza to have food. Not for bombs, but for food. The Congress and its staff will not eat today until Gaza can. I don't know. Do you also feel moved by this? So people who haven't lost their humanity say, that's the humanity. An 88-year-old Holocaust survivor participates in the protests. At 88 years old, she says, I am here because as a child, I experienced everything the children in Gaza are going through today. There is just no explanation for the massacre of 15,000 children. I am 88 years old and a civil rights activist. This is very interesting as well. In America, at Ohio University, by the way, they've set up snipers in Ohio. There's severe police intervention. They handcuffed the head of the philosophy department at a university. There's an incredible use of force by the police. What's going on? Brother, these people have no guns, nothing. It's a university, a place of freedom. But the intervention is so harsh. And now the situation is starting to reverse. I mean, people are beginning to wake up. Well, what's going on? Why are you so harsh, so strict on this issue? Why do you support Israel more than any other country? Why is Israel so important to you? Look here, brother, it's time for Muslims to pray. And they need to pray. And people who are probably not Muslims are protecting them from the police. And they're saying, let them pray. Leave them so that they can pray, worship, and make their duas. This sums up everything. People are protecting the barricade and the police are pressuring. It's like they're about to march on those praying. These people don't have guns or rifles. These people are not terrorists, brother. What's your problem? Let's continue. Here, Jews have come together and joined the protest. So actually, this is not something including all Jews. There's a Zionist mindset currently committing these brutality in Palestine, and Jews from many different parts of the world are disturbed by all this. After seeing all of these, when you see people of conscience and many people who have become Muslims on Instagram, like Americans, British, Portuguese, and Spanish, converting from Christianity, Judaism, atheism to Islam, actually we have a friend who does the Spanish dubbing for our channel. He was a Christian, and then he converted to Islam. After these events in Gaza, there's been a real awakening. As a person, we naturally think like this. Wait a minute, is the sun starting to rise from the west? Is something going to happen? The outcry from the people in the west, the conversions to Islam, the emergence of people with conscience. Is it time for things to start changing? Firstly, we need to know this. Islam has two aspects. The first one is the aspect of worship, harams, halals, prayers, and supplications. And the other is the Islamic ethics in social life. Now you see a person, yes, a Muslim's worshipping, praying, fasting, all of it, but they haven't embraced the ethical aspect of Islam. So here and there they do nonsensical things that don't fit Islam at all, breaking people's hearts. Ethically, they have no empathy, nothing. Well, is this right though? Was our Prophet, peace be upon him, like that? No. Our Prophet, peace be upon him, showed both his ethical nature and his devotion to worship. He was so considerate that he would visit a child's home to express condolences for a dead bird. Look, he would go to offer condolences for a bird, showing his deep kindness. Now, well, what's happening in the West? We see that people who have the characteristics of Islamic ethics are appearing, and after learning about Islam, they are taking Shahada and becoming Muslims. In Islam, they discover all these miracles of the Quran and they look into it. Then they say, yes, this must be the book of our Creator, and take their Shahada and become Muslims. Here, I'm not just making these up. If you go on YouTube and simply type converts to Islam, you'll see more videos than you can scroll down. For example, there's someone named Sean King, an activist who was deeply influenced by Malcolm X. He wasn't Muslim until the Gaza events. Of course, he knew about Islam and was interested. But after the Gaza events, there's a video of him taking his Shahada in a mosque. This man has over 4 million followers on Instagram, which got suspended by Instagram, and probably about 1 million followers on Twitter now. So he's a phenomenon. And this man used to be a founder of a church in Atlanta. I looked into his past, and now he's converted and become a Muslim. This says that there's a sun rising from the West. It's right, isn't it? Is Islam our private property? People living in the Middle East? No, if we don't appreciate its values and those truths, Islam will go and spread all over the world through the hands of people in the West. It's not mortgaged to us. Then there's also the issue of anti-Semitism. For those who might not know, anti-Semitism means this: hostility against Judaism and Jewish people. It's a term that shows prejudice and discrimination. You know, during World War II, when Hitler slaughtered Jews, anti-Semitism emerged there. Jews said against Hitler, "You're an anti-Semite, you're enemies of the Jews." And under this label, Jews began to take refuge. Those attacking or insulting them and those labeled as anti-Semites began to be punished. Yes, at that time, Jews were definitely oppressed, and there were anti-Semites, but Israel uses this label so effectively. For instance, in these recent events, when universities were in turmoil and Israel kept making statements, because not just double, not just five times, but 10 times the crowd started growing, and the more they got suppressed, the bigger the crowds became. And then Netanyahu makes a statement like, "Anti-Semitic actions, you're enemies of the Jews," and so on. Wait a minute, aren't you the ones killing 30,000 innocent people, displacing 2.5 million people of Gaza from their homes, leaving them on the starvation line, blocking aid from entering? When we say these things, do we now become enemies of the Jews? How does that work? So he robs the house and then suppresses the homeowner. Now, when I say 30,000 people died, 70% of them were women and children, what are you doing? 2.5 million people were displaced because of you. You bombed their homes and you destroyed 220,000 homes. Do I become an enemy of the Jews? You're an enemy of the Jews. Jews are being oppressed. Brother, 78,000 people are injured. Right now, we are witnessing a genocide. In the past, when genocide was happening in history, but later when the magnitude of the event was realized, those who committed genocide didn't say, "We are committing genocide." But then when they saw how severe the event was, they realized that they were part of a genocide years later during their trials.